to the east. And there he put the man who he had formed. In verse 9, and out of the ground, Yehovah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We look at that verse of scripture, and we've read that many times. And I've never seen it, if I've never seen all the tie-ins, like I was shown these past few mornings, getting up early, before work, being restless early in the morning hours, because I know I got to get up and get this word in, because to see what he's trying to say here. What does Yah want to say? Because remember, we start all over from the beginning. If we miss the beginning of creation, we're going to miss all these wonderful things that he has down the line for us. So when we read that, we said, out of the ground, Yehovah Elohim made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, with the tree of life in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now that don't sound like much, or does it? Let's look at some of the words. If anybody went back and did some of their homework, the word ground is H127. How you know this word? That's Aduma. It's the root word for Adam. It's H119. You know, that's where Adam was formed from the ground. So we see the root word is Aduma. Another word is sight. And I thought this was very interesting. It's Moreh, M-A-R-E-H. I apologize if I don't pronounce them all right, but we do try our best. And that is H758. And when you start looking and digging into that sight, how many of you know where it brings you to? Ra'eh, H7200. So I thought that was very interesting as I was digging into do some homework and looking down, because it brings you right to Ra'eh, to a Torah portion that we had. Down, I think it's, I don't remember what number it was, late 40s or early 50s. It was down there, Ra'eh. It had to do with sight, about seeing. And I had mentioned one time in one of the teachings how he put the laver right by the tabernacle, before the entrance, because he wants man to see his condition. He wants to see, us to see where we're at, especially in the time and age and where we're living in today. There's a lot of things happening. So we need to see ourselves. Where are we? So I thought that was very interesting. When you dig down, you'll find the word Re'e in there. And I thought that was awesome. Also, you see that the tree is eights. H6086. And it might not seem that much. But you know, when you put it in the Greek, it's G1186 Demdron. If I'm just saying it right. And we say that, when we see that in Mark, just hold your place right there. Let's look at Mark for a second. 8:22. And he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He said, what does it got to do with the Torah portion? Well, we just got to let me work on the foundation. Just give me time. The foundation is laid. Just got to build on it a little bit. And taking a blind man by the hand, he led him out of the village. And having spit on his eyes, laying his hands on him, he asked him, do you see at all? And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. I was like, that's very interesting. So let's go back to Genesis. And I know that right there, he's not talking about men, but go to show that trees sometimes can look like people. Especially if you're in the fog or at night, you might see a little tree that it could look like somebody, it could be deceiving. But just keep that thought in mind about the tree. The word life. Hae, H2416. Knowledge, All these words are going to tie in. What we're going to read tonight, you're going to see all these words are going to pop up. Knowledge is H1847. Da'ath. Da'ath. And here we have a new word that wasn't in the first chapter. It's evil. And we all know what that is. H745. Ra. That's what we do our children all the time. We want to scare them. That's what we were saying. Ra. We were speaking evil. Didn't even know it. It's where we find a root word, Ra'ah. And it's spelled, it's H7489. That's spelled with two I's. And its meaning is to be bad, to be evil, to be displeasing, to be sad, be evil, to be injurious, be evil, to be wicked. I had to look up that be injurious because we're going to come across that word again. You just want to do harm. So that's no good coming out of evil. And we see right here, this is a tree that Yehovah planted in the garden. But you see one word I left out that we're really going to focus at. It was the word pleasant to the sight. We're going to touch on that because this is where we're going to pull our text from this. The word pleasant is hamad. H2530. It's not her mad. It's kind of like a sound like her mad, but it's her mad because we don't want to make her mad. And that word pleasant, when you Google it, when you look at it, you find some words like desire and some words like covet. And also another famous word is called lust. This is the first time you see pleasant being mentioned, pleasant to the eye. And we see a lot of things in life that's pleasant to our eyes. In Genesis 3:6, just one chapter over, and the woman saw that a tree was good for food. I don't want to jump too ahead on our teaching, but I can't help this verse of scripture. That it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, and she took of his fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Lust. It's written all over it. But the word pleasant right there, it's not hamad. Just want you to know, just because you see the word, we got to go back and check it just to make sure, because we want to check. Remember, we're on this journey. We want to check our compass. We want to check and make sure we're going in the right direction. The word is called Ta'ava. But it has the same definition. And I thought that was very interesting. And did I? Yes. Okay, I didn't write down the Strong's. I apologize. Yes. There you go. Is desire, wish, longing for one's heart, lust, appetite, covetousness, bad sense, thing desired, object of desire. It's something that was created, Yehovah, but he didn't create them with the lust in them. Don't we know this part right here? When I read Genesis 2:9, did you know that the enemy was there already? Because we're going to slide over to the very next chapter. And who appears in chapter 3? He's there. So the enemy sees all this. He sees that this tree is there, that Yehovah is creating it for man, because he desires for man to have it, but the enemy wants it. Let's look at another word for lust. It's covet. And we find that in Exodus 2:17. A matter of fact, when that desire, the word desire there in Genesis 3:6, is the one that's hamad. So in Exodus 20:17, let's see what covetousness looks like. You do not covet your neighbor's house. You do not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or whatever belongs to your neighbor. Don't lust after it. The scripture says in 1 John, chapter 2. I know we jumped on that the other day. But starting at verse 15, and I promise we're going to come back to that scripture. In 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor that which is in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now here we see two different kinds of love. There's a G25 and there's a G26. One is agapeo. Agapeo, yeah. It's G25. It's like a social love. It's like a friendly love. The G26, agapo, we say agape, but I know when you push the little guy in there, it says agapo. It's my best expression is Yah's love. And we're gonna look at the difference in the two of them. I promise we're going to get to that. But I got to keep working on this pleasant. Hamad, H1530. We see it all over in the scripture. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. What did I just say a little minute ago? Y'all didn't create Adam and Eve with the lust in him. He created his tree that's beautiful to remember. We're still in the garden in the beginning. But it's a tree to desire that is, I can't really, it's so hard to explain when you look into the scripture. The scripture has to explain it to you. It's pleasant to the eye, to the sight. It's no different than us today. It's pleasant to the eye and to the sight. We see things out there in the world that we want and what we like and what fits our narrative. And it's lust. It really is. A lot of it. A lot of what the world has to offer. It's not nothing good because he just said it. Well, let me go read it to you. And the world passeth away and the lust of it. And this is what we know happens in the beginning. Because Eve desired, she lusted for something that was not hers. Yah told Adam, he's at fault. It's not like he's not at fault. Because when she took it, she gave it to him and he ate. Lust was something that wasn't there because he said, this tree is mine. You can eat of all the tree in the garden. You can freely eat, but this one tree, do not partake of it. And we're going to learn that. And the world passeth away and the lust of it, but the one doing the desire of Elohim remains forever. Well, if we can just get right, if we get that, doing his desire remains forever. Because why? Everything else is going to pass away. Don't get attached to it. I'm sorry. Don't get, we like our boats, we like our cars and all these things. And you know, Yah is for us. He wants us to have it. But he don't want you to lust after it. It has to become your idol, your thing that you crave more than what you crave him. So let's look at some of the what lust has to deal with. Lust is sin, bottom line. Let's look at one thing that the scripture points out. The first one I wrote down was money. He said, well, we got to have money. Yes, you do. But when you start lusting after it, when it starts becoming your thing that you crave, like I said, more than him, it becomes your idol. And the scripture tells us about that, and we're going to read it. I'm going to let it speak to you like it spoke to me. I can only repeat it when I sit down there in the morning, I drink my coffee, and you let the Spirit just minister to you Because this is what I asked for. I said, yeah, I can't. Before I even dive into it, I was praying. I said, you have to teach me. If not, I don't know it. I don't understand it. And I can't deliver it if you don't teach me. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is such a beautiful passage of scripture. I fell in love with it because I was just trying to pick out a little piece of it. How many of you know you can't do that? You have sometimes you got to sit down and just read the whole thing, and it'll bless you. Let's take it from the top. Let those who are servants under a yoke regard their own masters worthy of all respect, lest the name of Elohim and his teachings be blasphemed. When I come in here, I sit under leadership. And I love my leadership. Without my leadership, I wouldn't even be here today. And those who have believing masters, let them not disregard them because they are brothers, but rather serve them because they are believing and beloved ones. Those receiving the good service in return, teach and urge these matters. So what he's been telling us is what I have to learn so I can do what? Come here and teach and share with them because we are brothers and sisters. He said, what does this got to do with the 2:9? I'm glad you asked that. Just hold on. If anyone teaches differently and does not agree to the sound words, those of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and to the teaching which is according to reverence, he is puffed up, understanding nothing at all, but is sick about questionings and verbal battles, from which come envy, strife, slander, wicked suspicions, worthless disputes of men of corrupt minds, and deprived of the truth, who think that reverence is a means of gain, withdraw from such. What such powerful word that Shaul is teaching Timothy, he's writing to Timothy. And he's Timothy, the young pastor. And he said, look, trust me on what I'm telling you. You're going to need these things. I had no idea I was going to this chapter. I mean, you know, sometimes when you sit there, you just be open and you listen. It just let him reveal what he wants to reveal to you. But look, you don't get it because he said, I'm going to find some. No, you have to yield yourself to him in order to see what he's trying to say. Because what? All these things that I talked about, they're out there in the world. But reverence with contentment is great gain. Look, I love what I have, I love. I love it with all that's within me. It might not be a whole lot. I ain't got the biggest bank. I don't even talk about bank account. But I love what I have. And if he sees fit to bless me with more than what I have, I'm thankful for it. But I'm thankful for what I have also. At one time, I had nothing. For we brought naught into the world, and it is impossible to take any out. When we have food and covering, we shall be satisfied with these. But those wishing to be rich, fall into trial and a snare, and to many foolish and injurious lusts, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. What happens? This is what happens when you, all you TV preachers out there that follow that stuff, they better get into the word, what Shaul is saying to Timothy, and get caught up in a lot of junk. It might look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, but when I imagine to the word, it don't really. There's something going on here. For the love of silver is the root of all kinds of evil. How much? All kinds. Trust me, I wrote down some more. I ain't. Money was just the top of the list. That's something everybody needs, everybody wants. For which some, by longing for it, have strayed from the belief. That's what it'll do. It'll blind you to the lust of it. And pierced themselves through with many pains. They pierced their own selves. But they get mad at the pastor.
Or whoever's in charge of leadership.
But you, O man of Elohim, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, reverence, belief, love, endurance, and meekness. Oh. And you know that love right there. You want to take a guess what that love is? Without you having to Google it? G26. Yah's love. This is his character that we see in the beginning. This is his, when he said, let us make man in our image, this is how you made. These are some of the characteristics, what he looks like. G26. Fight the good fight of belief. Lay hold on everlasting life. What are we here for? This is the goal. This is why we're doing what we're doing. This is why we say what we say. This is why we preach what we preach every week. You're going to see, because I'm going to get to what Yeshua is going to say. But everybody loves Paul, so I think we just run with Paul first for a minute. Hold on to everlasting life. That is the goal. That's what we all strive for. That's why we're here tonight on a Wednesday night. We have other places to be, but we're here. To which you are also called and have confessed a good confession before many witnesses. Oh, this is good. In the sight of Elohim, who gives life to all. He ain't holding back from us. He ain't willing that none should perish. Gives life to all. And of Messiah Yeshua, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you. Because what did Pilate ask him? What is truth? Don't even stick around for the answer. What is the truth? He witnessed before you. The witness was standing right before him. Everlasting life was standing right before him. And he couldn't even see it. I charge you that you guard the command spotlessly. Blamelessly, there's some condition we got to live by. Until, how long? Until the appearing of the Master Yeshua Messiah. Hallelujah. This ain't just a short race that we're running. This is something we have to endure. No matter how ugly it gets. No matter who's not here. You have to endure regardless. If you're the last man standing, then stand. But what did he say? Have your loins girded with truth. Which in his own season he shall reveal the blessed and only ruler, the sovereign of sovereign, and masters of masters. Boy, I love that verse of scripture. Yeah. Huh? In his own season, in his own what? Moedim. That's not Moedim right here. It's G. Let me pull it in. If I'd be sitting down on my couch right now with a cup of coffee, I can probably deliver this a whole lot better. Oh boy. Well, you know, this is known time. They got time right there. And it's Kiros. G2540. But in his own time, in his own Moedim, because what we're learning, because we're in the beginning. So in his own Moedim, in his time, he will be revealed. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Every eye will behold him. Which in his own season he shall reveal the blessed and only ruler, the sovereign of sovereign, and masters of masters. Boy, who alone has immortality. Who? How many people? Him alone. That's what the scripture says. Him alone. Now, when you pull up your Facebook page, like I seen today, there's so many birthdays going on in heaven, it's unreal. They got more birthdays in heaven than what they got on earth. But the scripture says he alone has immortality.
Now somebody's lying. That's all I'm saying. You do your own homework. Dwelling in what? Unapproachable light. What we've learned from the beginning? Boy, can you imagine the light? Unapproachable. Only one can approach that light. There was only one priest in the Holy of Holies. Not two priests, not three. One. Oh. I don't know if y'all getting this. But boy, this is beautiful. Who alone has immortality dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or is able to see, to whom be respect and everlasting might. Amen. Man, what a beautiful scripture. What a Shaul, boy. I can imagine Timothy reading this letter for the first time when Shaul's instructing him. What a good teacher to have. You think he loved, he started out with a statement in the beginning, I respect his master, his teacher. Man. Charge those who are rich in this present age not to be high-minded, nor to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living Elohim who gives us richly all for enjoyment. He wants you to enjoy yourself. He's not against you not having a nice vehicle or a nice boat or whatever, a nice house. He wants you to enjoy it. It's what he is. But you have to, it's him first. It's the bottom line is you got to put him first. If not, you won't enjoy it. You think you're only fooling ourselves. For all enjoyment, to do good, to be rich in good works. You want to be rich? To be generous, ready to share. Oh, my wife said, you ready? Yep, I was ready tonight. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come so that they lay hold on what? What is your scripture? What does your word say? Everlasting life. What are we talking about from the beginning? The tree of life. Everlasting life. Oh, Timotheus, watch over that which has been entrusted to you. Turn aside from the profane and empty babblings and contradictions, the falsely called knowledge, which some have professed it, have missed the goal concerning the belief. Favor be with you. Amen. What a letter. Just one chapter 6. If I read nothing else tonight, that I can go home and I'm happy. But you know, there's so much more to read. There's so much beautiful stuff in there. Ooh, boy. All right. What about material? Now, I just said it. He wants us to enjoy material stuff, not just money. But we can see with money, you can have a problem with that. Look, if you think I'm joking, let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark 10. I know we know this story, but I got to show you something. A few things we need to look at. Verse 17. And as he was, let's take it from the master now. Master of masters. That's what Shaul called him. And as he was sitting out of the way, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit everlasting life? What a good question. What can you do to inherit everlasting life? What a question that we should ask ourselves. Write that question down. What can I do to inherit that? And Yeshua said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Elohim. Who are we starting with from the beginning? In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Wow. Mind blowing. What does Yeshua say? You know the commands. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not rob. Which I had to go look at that. Do not rob. Because I don't remember. I said, well, I didn't remember reading do not rob. Respect your father and your mother. Why is Yeshua? Why do you say, well, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Why is he going back to the commands? When people say, we unhitched from that. We don't need that anymore. Really. And he answered and said to them, teacher, all these I have watched over my youth. And Yeshua, looking at him, loved him. That love him is G25. That paused me for a second because why is he like friendship love or
social love. Why not agape love? The Father's love. That's a G25 love right here. But we got to keep reading to get the answer. He loved him and said to him, one matter you lack. Go sell all your possessions. Go sell all you possess. Slow down. And give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me, taking up the stake. But he, being sad at this word, went away grieved, for he had many possessions. Not just the money, he had a lot of possessions. You had possessions, you were rich. It was his idol. It's what the thing he lusted, what he craved more, his material stuff. And his taught ones, verse 24, were astonished at his words. And Yeshua responded, said to them again, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter into the reign of Elohim? It is impossible. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the reign of Elohim. Wow. Why would you? I can only imagine that conversation. What are you talking about? Why are you not loving him like the Father? Why are you just a social love there? Because it's almost impossible when you think about it for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. But can he do it? Yes, he can. But the choice is up to us. Yeshua knew his heart, knew where his treasure was. How can you show godly love to someone without first showing friendly love? You have to show friendly love. But he knew what the man was going to do. That's why he quoted the commands to him. And I thought that was real interesting, just reading that, you know, because why not G26 instead of G25? And they were immeasurably astonished, saying among themselves, who then is able to be saved? And looking at them, Yeshua said, with men it is impossible, but not with Elohim. For with Elohim, all is possible. Amen. That's why the camel can go through an eye of a needle, because it's possible with him. We see that as something impossible, but he can make it happen. Now these next ones, you know, when I started writing down, how you know this lust goes deep? Maybe it's sometimes you don't want to say it, some things. But where the judgment begins, here. If we can't examine ourselves through the labor, through his eyes, I'm no good up here. We went through money, went through material. What about sex? Women, men, lust of the eyes. That's one big thing that captures people around. We know this. We know this from Scripture that we learn. We know this from not just Sodom and Gomorrah. We learn this in Judges. This happened. It's all over in the Scripture. And he warns us about it in 1 Corinthians. Which we'll jump to it a little later on. I got to try to get everything else out first. I mean, you know, this stuff, this lust is real. It ain't something that, and we see great men and women fall because of it. One of them is right here just in the beginning of time. And ever since then, that's when that was birthed in us, that lust. Because you wasn't created with it. But that seed was planted in Eve. And what happened? She lusted for something that wasn't her, and she gave the husband, and he wanted it too. He wanted it just as bad as her. Maybe your lust is your job. You know, I hear people all the time that I deal with. I got to work. You'd be surprised. Ask my wife. You'd be surprised. Hey, you got to work. You got to work Saturday. No, I don't. You got to work this all 7 days. Well, bye. I'll go fishing. It ain't going to happen. Not knowing what we know now. Maybe your lust is food. Or your own business. These are all lust attributes that you can get caught up in the world today, that the world throws out at us. If you don't think so, what about this one? How about the news? God knows we love Fox 8. We love our news people. But some people, look, they get tired in that TV. That's what they want to see, the news. Look, you want the news? Here's the news. I'm giving it to us. Be prepared for what's to come, because we're going to need all this, because it's out there in the world. I'm not just making it up. It's in the scripture. We see all the tie-ins. If I didn't see all the tie-ins, I mean, I couldn't even write all this down. I can't make this up. But it's in there. What about our phones? People stand in line for the next big thing, iPhone, to come out at 3 o'clock in the morning. Come over here to Apple store at 7:30. We're going to open up and you're going to get 15% off. People stand outside for that stuff.
Oh, boy. You know, sometimes, look, it gets pretty warm up here. How about music? Maybe your lust is music. I love music. I can tell you. I like a lot of Hebraic music. My wife can tell you. I take it in the bathroom with me. I even take it in the shower. I got a little shell built in. I play it while I'm in the shower. I love the Hebraic music. But it's not the only thing I'm after, because it's not what's going to keep me, but I love listening to it. I don't understand it all. Good thing I got to hit the closed caption. But every now and then I try to work on my vocal cords, but maybe not tonight. Oh, well, I do practice, though. I tell you what, I do practice. How about TV? Hey, we all, I'm guilty for that. We go home, click, automatic. It's like you program for that stuff. But you know, to some people, it's lustful. Movies. Some people love movies. These are all just a few things. How about just fame? Just want to be the best of the best of the best of the best. Be popular in everything you do. Don't you know the enemy tried this? Let's look at Matthew. That way you see what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the reigns of the world and their esteem. All of it. Why? Because he's in charge. Why? Because he got it from in the beginning, because two people lusted over something that wasn't theirs. And said to him, said to Yeshua, all these I shall give you if you fall down and worship me. What if that question was presented to you tonight? Oh, you want everlasting life, but what if he offered this to you? Would you take it? Oh, what are we willing to give up tonight? Look, the enemy owns it. He owns a lot of stuff. Let's not forget that. He'll gladly give it to you if you worship him. So what is everlasting life worth for you tonight? Think about that question. What he said, if you fall down and worship, I'll give it all to you, Yeshua. Why? Because over from the beginning, from where it started from, a lie. You won't surely die. So when we look at that verse of Scripture 2:9, there's lust written all over. In Genesis 2:9, there's lust written all over it. But we have to be willing to sit down and really look into it. How we hear it every week? When you look into my glory. Oh boy. Let's look at another passage. Let's go to Luke. Luke 16. We all know this story. Starting at verse 19.
But there was a certain rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and live luxuriously every day. Every day. This is what you can get tied up into. This is what the enemy tries. He wants to blindside you. He wants to give it all to you and let you live luxuries every day if you fall out and worship him. He'll give it all to you. And there was a certain beggar named Eleazar, being covered with sores, who was placed at his gate, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Indeed, even the dog came and licked his sores. Now we read the story all over. I've heard the story all my life since I was a kid. I've heard the story. But one thing I didn't see, and we're going to get to it in just a minute. And it came to be that the beggar died and was carried by the messengers to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And while suffering to tortures in Sheol, having lifted up his eyes, he saw Abraham far away and Eleazar in his bosom. And crying out, he said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me, and sent Eleazar to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. Now people take this passage, I'm going to call it a parable, but they take that and that's what they build a doctrine on. Because when you go to the King James, we know where that leads you. But why? How is he seeing Abraham? First of all, that blows my mind. How are you seeing Abraham? We in Luke and you see Abraham? Why is Yeshua keep referencing back to the beginning? I wonder why. I wonder why we do our teaching and we always go back to the beginning.
It's amazing how if you throw away the beginning and we don't need it,
how are you going to understand this story? How are you going to understand this parable, what he's trying to teach us here?
The one that really blew my mind, we're going to get to it. And crying out, he said, Father Abraham, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your life you receive your good, and likewise Eleazar the evil. But now he is comforted, and you are suffering. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set, so that those who wish to pass from here to you are unable, nor do those from there pass to us. If you can't pass, I wonder how you're speaking to them. So none of this would make sense had we not learned the beginning of the book. The story would just make up our doctrine just like anybody else would. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, lest they also come to this place of torture. Abraham said to him, They have Moshe and the prophets. Let them hear him. Somebody tell me, who do we read every week in here? I'm listening. Moshe and the prophets. This tells me we're on the right track. Boy, I'm so glad Yeshua said that. That is so powerful. That he's referencing Moshe and the prophet that we read every Shabbat. Like the scripture said, we should do every Shabbat. Boy, this is amazing.
Either that or Yeshua's crazy. I'll let you decide. Or maybe I'm crazy. Maybe my Bible reads something different from yours. Well, let's see what else he said, because that's not the key verse. They have Moshe and the prophet. Let them hear him. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they shall repent. If someone goes from the dead, okay. Yeshua said to him, but he said to him, let me put Yeshua's name right there, but he said to him, If they do not hear who? Moshe and the prophets. Why is Yeshua repeating himself? This was the key verse for me. He's having to say it again because obviously sometimes you repeat yourself because you never heard it the first time. So we have to repeat ourselves. We have Moshe and the prophets. So if I come here Friday night and I ask you who we have, please say Moshe and the prophets that we learn from every week. Neither would they be persuaded if one should rise from the dead. Paul. You mean if someone rose from the dead, you would believe? No, it would be just a miracle that he rose from the dead. What did Yeshua say? If you don't believe what Moshe wrote, that he wrote about me, how are you going to believe my words? And I'm so glad that every week we read what Moshe has to say to us. He wrote it for us X amount of years ago. That writing, we still need it today. Because what did Yeshua make reference to? So if you're reading anything else besides Moshe and the prophets, if you're lusting after anything else, it won't be pleasant. Oh, boy. This is great. Because this is what he said. Let's see if we can do this Corinthians. Because look, we still, verse 9. I was trying, it's three mornings, and I'm still on verse 9, trying to get through it. And there's still more stuff. I said, well, how are we going to move on? See, I can see how we can get stuck in just in one verse. I scream so much. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, all this come out of that first verse in the beginning? Yes. At least that's what I seen. That's what I heard. That's what I wrote down. Let's take it from the top. It is commonly reported that there is whoring among you. That don't even sound right. 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 1. And such whoring as it not even named among the nation, so as one to have his father's wife. What is that? That's lusting. That's what we're talking about from the beginning. This is what lust will do to you. It'll cause you to see things, desire things, that is not from Elohim. And these things are in the world. Remember, the one of us going to abide forever. But if you're lusting after these things, then you're not going to abide. And you have been puffed up and did not rather mourn, so that he who hath done this deed be removed from among you. You know, if there's some things that I'm doing, my wife, look, you catch on to you, because look, we shouldn't even be doing that. That shouldn't even come into your home. Because when it does, it's trouble. Look, some of these other lustful attributes, I wrote down, I mean, what about the lottery? Maybe we lust because we just want to win the lottery. Or maybe lust can be our clothing. Or what we like, because we like the way our clothes fit us, men and women, not just women, and causes someone else to be lustful. But that does happen. And we're going to see here that in Shaul, in this letter right here, he's writing in Corinthians, into the church. I just get the answer. It's in the church, not just outside. It happens in the church. So we have to be careful. For the past couple of days, Brother Chad sent me a song, When I Lock Eyes With You, that his wife was singing. We had one morning, one service. I was hoping we sang that tonight. Because that's what we really need to be focused on, having our eyes locked on him, not on the things outside of him. We can get into so much trouble. And you have been puffed up and did not rather mourn, so that he who hath done this deed be removed from among you. Verse 3. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged the one who did this as though I were present. Shaul was not even there. He said, look, I'm against that. Not for that. Neither should we be for that. In any form or fashion. Whatever it may be. Lust comes all kinds of ways. It comes in all kinds of disguises. Not just one because it's man and woman. It's broader than that. What does the scripture say? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are on that road. He said that the few on a straight and narrow. He never said that road, that straight and narrow, is an easy little road. It's going to have bumpy. It's going to seem like it has failures, but it doesn't. It leads to life. We have to stay on it. In the name of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, in order that his spirit be saved in the day of the Master Yeshua. He cares for them. He cares for our loved ones. Even though, look, whatever they're lusting after in this world, he cares for them. And he cares for us here also. He don't want us to get caught up in that kind of stuff. But he's something that were happening. It was happening in the church. This is why he's addressing it. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Therefore, cleanse out the old leaven so that you are a new lump. We were that old leaven. We got rid of that lust. That's why we go through it every year. When it comes around, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oh, how we need that. So that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. For also Messiah, our Pesach, was slaughtered for us. I mean, what did he die for? For us to live lustlessly? I don't know if that's even a word. Lustfully? Not enough for us to live any kind of way we want to. He has order. He has order for us. And when we come to his house, why? Because when we're in his house, he has his own rules. He don't need your rules. That's for sure. He don't need your ideas, because he built the house. In the beginning, he built the heavens and the earth. He didn't ask us. He didn't ask God for his opinion. That's for sure. I wasn't even around. So then, let us celebrate the festival. What? Why is Shaul saying that to celebrate the festival? I thought, we learned that. We learned that back in the beginning. We learned about this festival. And we here in Corinthians, he said, celebrate the festival? Really? Not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of what? Evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We got our work cut out for us. I can tell you. I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with those who whore. And I certainly did not mean with those of this world who whore, or with the greedy of gain, or with swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Because where they're at, they're out there in the world, I promise you. The world is full of that stuff. It's on my job site. I ain't got to go far into the world. It's on my job site when I go. I'm so glad I don't have to work tomorrow, because I need a break. Me and my wife not be too happy about that, but I need a break. Well, look, there's some things out there. Look, my goodness. I'd be ashamed to even talk about it. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who called their brother. If he is one who whores, or greedy of gain, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. He's telling you, you distanced yourself from some of that, some things. Something we don't need to partake of. Because why? Because when you get caught up in some of these things, lust can be attracted to somebody, especially when you're a drunkard. Well, believe me, I know.
Could trust me.
I'm one. I'm guilty. One time in my life, I was a drunkard and I lusted big time. I was a swindler. I was an idolater, greedy of gain. I can put my name right there by some of these things. Trust me, probably a time in my life you wouldn't want to eat with me either. This is what Shaul was saying. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? What a good question. Do you not judge those who are inside? Look, if pastor see me doing something, look, I expect him to say something. Or anybody else, if I'm acting out of character. And I'm going to do the same to you. I'm not talking about the outside. I'm talking about those in where? In the bait. In the house. But Elohim judges those who are outside. And put away the wicked one from among you. Whoa, this is a lot of stuff that we can learn from all this. Look at something in verse 8. So then let us celebrate the festival, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now you know right there, they put the leaven of malice in your King James Version. So, I don't quite know how malice looks like. So I had to Google this stuff. Thank God for Google. And he pulled up this definition, and malice is G2549, kakia, malignant, ill will, desire to injure, malice, wickedness, depravity, and this is the one that really grabbed me, wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. Wow. If I had the mic, that would be why I'd drop it right here on that verse, on that definition. You are not ashamed to break laws. Wow. I bet you when you read that next time, you see that word malice comes up. And somebody asks, do you even know what that is? When I read that, I sat back and I think back of my life. When there was a time when I was not ashamed to break laws. Now, I'm not telling you, you do what you want to do. But as for me, I can assure you, when I'm on the, let's just take the speed law. I know the speed law throughout here to New Orleans. I observe every sign when I'm driving. My wife can tell you. And I wasn't always that way before I got here. Until that one trip, where we were going, Florida? No, Indiana. Florida. We were going to Florida. And I was behind a white vehicle. And I said, I'll never get to Florida. Because I'm so used to driving. Like I want. Not ashamed to break laws. But now when you start sitting in the guidelines of the Torah, because then when you go to Romans 13, it starts instructing us how we should operate when those we under authority. Ooh, boy. So look, when I sat back and I read that, I can tell you, just to tell you right when you get by Empire, There's no sign right there. It goes from 65 down to 55. They don't have a sign. Now, the cop won't pull you over because I talked to them already. You probably can do 70 through there. I don't know. I don't do it anymore. Because I know that it's 55 from the foot of the bridge till I pass Farrellish. Then it's 65. And it's the same way coming back. So I know the laws. And I can't be a light if I'm breaking them. Look. This is just one aspect in your life. I can't be a light if I'm breaking. Now, I told my wife, Shabbat night, I said, I'm unclean till evening. Because I was already getting off of work late, but I was coming here. Because there's no place I want to be here on Shabbat. I don't want to be late. So I exceeded just a little bit. I'm going to confess. But I don't make it my habit, I promise you. I said, you might not want to shake my hand because I'm unclean till evening. But I knew better. And after that, I got stopped. And I was only doing 5 miles over, just trying to cheat just a little bit. What leg can I stand on? If you just pull me in and say, you're exceeding 5 miles over, what I'm going to tell? Well, I'm have a little grace. Please give me a little grace. I'm just using that as an example. You drive like you want to drive. But I'm going to tell you, a man told me, I shared this with Brother Chad last week. A man told me, he come on the boat early in the morning, working by Point Lahead, we'll be pumping the fresh water up there. He come on the boat early that morning, he said, man, Cap, you always happy. I get the Brother Chad. I said, yeah. I said, well, he said, man, every time I come on the boat, you happy. He said, man, I said, well, that's just my nature. I told Brother Chad, he said, what? Just let your light shine. People will see it. You know, I never talked to him about the Bible. The man, but he recognized there's something different. He said, man, you ain't mad at nobody. None. Every time I come here, you ask, well, what I got to be mad about? You know what I told him? Life is too short. It is. That last definition was evil trouble. Ra. Or Ra-A. It's not going to say that right here, but it's going to give you the Greeks. But we know in the Hebrew what it means. So when you look at that word malice, it's not a good thing. And when you're not ashamed to break laws, because trust me, I knew I was doing wrong. And that time, look, when I'm on it anywhere, I know, you get that sense, the set apart spirit warns you. Don't do that. Or you can't speak that way. That's a way that we got to learn to control ourselves. We have to. If not, the lust of the flesh will just take over, and we say and we spew out our mouth whatever it is we want to. And once you let it out, it's too late. You haven't said it. Because why? Because it was seeded down here, and it just gave birth. So look, that verse 9, when I went over it, it's 3 mornings in a row. I've looked at it, and I tried to get past it, and I couldn't, because it just meant so much. But let me tell you, but lust is real. It will overtake you. I mean, what did he tell Cain? The desire is there. You can overcome this. Because we're going to get to all that. I mean, I know we're jumping way ahead now. But it wants to consume you. Like it wants to consume you and I today. But we have, as the teaching, as we're getting, we have to store up. We have to guard everything that's being taught here. Because look, in time to come, down the road, we're going to need all what's being said here tonight. And whatever, how long Yehovah allow us to teach Moshe and the prophets? Because after all, who are we listening to? There we go. We're listening. Oh boy. And a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divided and became four heads. The name of the first, Pishon, is the one surrounding the entire land of Hawala, where there is gold. And the goal of that land is good. Bethlehem, Bethlehem is there. Huh? Yeah. And the Shoham stone. Well, we're going to learn about that one, but not tonight. And the name of the second river, Gihon, is the one surrounding the entire land of Cush. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, is the one which goes toward the east of Ashur. And the fourth river, is the Euphrates. And this is where I stopped. Just to get, that's where we are. And I'm that's where we're at right now. And I didn't go on chapter 15. Verse 15. I started peeking into it, but just I didn't know I was going to get through all this. Especially if I went to the Romans account when he talked about being under authority. And there's so much to look at. To me, in just that one verse of Genesis 2:9, I'll never see it. Just read through it again, like I saw it these past few mornings. So, having said all that, if y'all have any questions, any comments, y'all can see past after service. Anything else? Yes. So, I don't have no more. This is all I put down because, look, when I sit there, it's like the time passed by so fast, and I was like, I don't even have much time. I said, man, this was really bothering me. I said, I don't even know if I can get all this in. I don't know how much time I even got. I was like, man, but I got it. But it meant so much to me when you look at it, because this is where it started, and like I said, the enemy was there, because we know when chapter 3 comes, he's gonna manifest, and you'll see the lust there with it, because that's what she desired. Amen. The pleasing to the eye in two?
I guess the question is the pleasing to the eye bad in two? And good, I mean, is it good and bad in either one of them?
No. It's the word is different because the first word is hamad.
It was good. It's not a bad connotation, the first one in chapter 2.
No, not the first one. The first one, but the second, it has